Hello, this is Kent Kaufman reporting at Landis Homes North with my grandfather, Rory Wenger. Could you tell us a little about yourself, like where you were born and your full name?
Well, I was born near Stewart's Draft in Augusta County, Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley.
And what year was that?
1900, 30th of March, 1900.
Ah, okay. And what were your parents' full names?
Well, my father's name was Timothy J. Wenger, and my mother's name was Mary Powell Wenger.
Did you have many sisters and brothers?
Well, I had
eight sisters
and one brother.
Huh. Where did you rank in this, as an age group wise?
Well, I had six sisters older than me, and two sisters and one brother younger than me.
Do you have any memories from school, like where you attended school?
Yes, I don't remember the name of the school, but it was the schoolyard was only divided from the Springdale Mennonite Church between Waynesboro and Stewart's Draft in Shenandoah Valley. And I think it was called Hall School, but I won't say for sure, but it was a Springdale church. And the children played in the churchyard more, I think, than they did in the schoolyard. The schoolyard was rather small and on the hillside, but more room in the churchyard to play.
What kind of things do they play?
Oh, they played baseball and snowball.
All right, and how were your teachers compared to today and your lessons and everything?
Well, I was quite small when we left. I was only in the third grade when we left there.
Oh, okay.
And so I can't tell you too much about the school. It was a two-room school.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I saw my first automobile about a year or two before we left. We left there in 1908, December the 18th, 1908. Moved down beyond Norfolk.
Is that a big experience for you, seeing a car for the first time?
Yes, we were at the churchyard. I mean, we were at church, and the horses were tied around in the churchyard, and this little automobile came had forded the creek at the bottom of the hill and came up over the hill, and the little red automobile, and the horses in the churchyard plunged and reared and carried on like they thought it was something terrible.
Was it pretty noisy?
No, not so much. And until the thing was passed, and after it was passed, there was one horse with a saddle on, was tied to a tree in the yard yet, and he had heard the commotion, and he was plunging, rearing. He kept on rearing after the automobile was gone by for a while.
Sounds like they were jealous or something.
They were scared.
Well, back to school, what kind of, how were your teachers like? Were they more strict than they are today? I guess you wouldn't know too much about
I don't know too much about the ones there. But now when I went to school down there beyond Norfolk, we had some nice teachers. And we had one teacher that was very strict. Mm-hmm. And even to the almost a grouchy point.
Does he ever make you do things you didn't want to do? Or discipline you in ways you didn't want to be disciplined?
Well, when she told you something, you better do it.
Okay, well, see, do you have, you know, what are your memories of early life when you were a kid?
Well, the next spring, that's the spring of 1909, there was a large whale, dead whale out on the seashore. The seashore was only about 16 or 18 miles from us.
This is in Virginia, right?
Yes. Okay. But the whale was on up the shore between Virginia Beach and Cape Henry. And it had been pulled there by a boat. It had washed ashore somewhere else. And they had hooked a boat to it and brought it around and brought it along where the trolley line run up just back of the sand dunes from Norfolk. It came out to Cape Henry and to Virginia Beach and back to Norfolk, made the loop. And they put this wheel where in between so they could haul the people out on the trolley cars to see the whale. And you were supposed to pay a dime to see the whale. And the whale was 65 feet long, I think.
What kind was it?
You know? I don't know. I didn't know there was more than one kind of whale at that time. I don't know, but I didn't know it then. I think it was 65 feet long. And it had a tail span of 25 or 26 feet. The tail span was 25 or 26. And the mouth, the measurement of the mouth around from one corner to the other was the other. See, one was 25 and the other 26. I don't remember which is which. The tail span and the mouth. But the mouth was 10 feet through.
Mm-hmm. That must have been a pretty big occasion.
And
that was big enough to swallow Jonah.
Yeah, if you could prop your mouth open, I think you could back the horse cart in it.
That was a bargain for a dime.
Uncle Amos Swinger, he only had one, he lived right near us, he only had one child that was big enough to go along, so he took us children along in a two-seated carriage with one horse, and the roads were most of them were just dirt roads at the time. And we had to cross a swamp about 7 miles from home. There was a swamp which we had to go through, oh, probably 3/4 mile. And the road was made up of poles laying crosswise in the road. And dirt pile on what they called the corduroy road. So we left home in the morning, and we went across there, and went on out to the beach, went on down the beach, or back down the road along back to the sand hills, sand dunes, and saw the whale. We come back, And it was getting toward evening before we got to this swamp. And my uncle stopped and asked a farmer for some pine wood to make torches out of. So he split up an old board and gave us a whole bunch of sticks to light. So when we got to the swamp where each one of us carried a pine torch lit, and we walked along in a row beside the carriage. One person rode in the carriage to drive the horse, and the rest all walked along the side. And we got
the swamp. Through the swamp,
yeah. We did a lot of walking out there in the sand, too, along the several miles it'd be.
I was wondering.
Well, how many miles was this whole trip?
The whole trip must have been, the Hoya must have been 25 or 28, somewhere around that, miles from home.
It must have been a big thing for you to come that far.
And then we got home about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Was it worth it, you think?
Huh?
Was it worth it?
Yeah, sure it was worth it.
I personally never saw a real live whale.
We walked for miles out of it. Walked through that swamp, and then we walked through the sand out of the beach.
The whale was dead, you know that.
The whale was dead, yeah.
Well, see, back to your home life, like, what did you do for fun? I mean, you know, and what were your chores like and everything?
Well, we lived on a farm.
Uh-huh.
And we had a few cattle and a few chickens, horses.
How is the farming methods compared to today?
Today? Well, in Augusta County, where we moved from, they had what was modern machinery for that time. It was horse-drawn, of course. Mm-hmm. But when we got down there, it was farmed mostly with little one-horse plows that 6-inch bottom plows. And for wagons, they mostly used carts to haul hay and haul anything else. And people even used a lot of them to ride in, to church, and to the store, and so forth. Of course, down there, machinery is modern too now, but at that time, it was very back country.
Well, did you have any? Was anything motor powered? Like,
not down there.
Nothing.
No.
How about when you grew up on a farm and you get a little older?
Oh well, yeah, we had a tractor and so forth. Better grow up, yeah. And
like, what did you do in your free time? Just.
Well, we played around under the trees, and when we got a little older, we had a bicycle, and a little older yet, I rode the colts.
Mm-hmm. How old did you have to be to ride them?
Well, I don't think I rode them till I was maybe 16 or 18, never. I mean, colts have run broken. Colts were not used to being ridden.
Well, how about even after the farming? How about jobs? You know, what were your early jobs and occupations?
Well, I started learning the carpenter trade at 35 cents an hour.
Was that a lot for back then?
Well, a farm help got 10 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. So,
a farm.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's a considerable larger amount. Was that, did you always work as a carpenter all your life?
No, I farmed part of the time.
Did you ever own a farm?
Not exactly, no. I farmed my father's farm, and I farmed another farm, and I bought a tract of woodland off of the other farm that I rented, and built our house in this 10 acres of woodland.
That's the one my mother grew up in, right?
Yeah, that's it there.
Saw that one before. Then when did you get married? What year?
In 1927.
And what was her name? They don't know this.
Marion Rosenberg.
Okay.
She was 21. I was 27.
And how did you two meet?
Well, met by accident in a way. I was riding with somebody else, stopped to see her brother, and I saw her, but I didn't go to see her until about a year later. I simply wrote her for a date.
A year later?
Huh?
A year later?
Yeah.
And she remembered you?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, how was courtship in these days?
Well,
did you have automobiles to drive around in yet?
I had a little Chevrolet coupe.
The picture's up there, isn't it, of the coupe that you courted her in?
Yeah, the picture up there.
Do you have any memories of how you got around earlier?
Got around earlier?
Yeah. I mean, how old were you before cars came into existence or to your
family?
Well,
I was 15 years old when we had our first car, the Model T-Ford.
And how soon could you drive it?
Well,
how old did you have to be?
I drove it the first year.
You were allowed to drive at age 15?
Didn't even have to have a license then.
Oh, wow. Doesn't sound too bad. And how were the, before that even, did you mainly go around in horses and carriage?
Horse and carriage, bicycle, or walk.
Yep. Has transportation really changed over the years in your sight?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
What did you ask me?
Has transportation really changed a lot?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you look back on it? Do you?
Sure. It was horse-drawn when I was small. In 1915, we got our first Ford car.
When was the first car?
The first cars were built back. I think probably about 1890 something like that. Mm-hmm. But see, we lived out in the country, dirt roads, and we didn't see cars out in the country.
Did you know anything about airplanes at that time yet? Like maybe go a little bit?
I saw my first airplane on my way home from school. We had 4.5 to 5 miles to school, and we drove, my sister and I, in a buggy. And on the way home, we stopped to let out a passenger, and he rode with us, another school scholar, and heard a big noise and looked around, and and saw this thing fly, and it flew down the country there and scared all the chickens all along. The chickens run under the buildings, and
did you know about these before they came?
Oh, yeah, we knew about airplanes.
Yeah.
Were you impressed?
Huh?
Were you impressed?
Oh, sure.
Did you ever, was there a big thing over Wright's flying? World War Norm?
Well, that was, we didn't know anything about that until later on. Mm-hmm.
And what do you do now? Just, you know.
I'm retired now.
Yeah? Well, do you have any hobbies or anything?
Yeah, I still build a little furniture as a hobby.
I think we just heard one of them right there before your clock.
Yeah,
You really build a lot of them?
I built 33 of them, grandfather clocks.
He built that one for you, yeah.
What do you remember about, you know, important historical events? Do you remember the war good? Was there anything changing in the war, the depression, or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. The depression that came around 1930s really started a little before the 30s. See, we were married in 27, and it was the depression that started then already. They talk about the depression in the 30s, but the depression started a little before that.
Did you really feel the effects of it?
Yeah, we did. We couldn't hardly get a job, a steady job. And the wages were very low.
But how were prices of food and et cetera compared to, you know?
No, food was cheap too.
So did everyone make out okay on that?
Well, they didn't live like they do now.
Yeah.
By a long ways.
Well, then it was just sort of getting by.
Yeah.
And how was the war? I mean, did you think of the war as just, you know, something your country's fighting for, or did you really down home to it, you know, out of airplanes? And...
Well, Norfolk was a port where a lot of men, Norfolk and Newport News, they were. Where a lot of the war material was shipped from, men and mules, and see, they used a lot of mules over there when building their.
This was in World War One, wasn't it?
World War One, yeah. Mm-hmm. World War Two then was later than. Jeeps and trucks and things like that.
Were you scared about any of these wars?
Well, you didn't feel very good about it, of course. And at least the first part of the war, when the Germans were conquering one country after another. But then later on, it turned. The Germans couldn't. Well, they run out of food and materials, and the other countries drove them back.
So. Is that a big time in your life? Does that really stand out? the wars.
Oh, sure.
Is there any other historical happenings that you remember that you just stick out in your mind?
No, not any big things.
Well, what did you like better about the past and the present?
Well, I don't know as I like the past better than the present. There's a lot of things. The attitudes of people and the high standards of living and the low standards of morals and so forth that we have now that we didn't have then. Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't too much of what you just said back then? Did that take as much as was happening?
Well, it wasn't near as bad back then.
Yeah, but it was there.
Yeah. So, certainly stand.
Okay, so how are you enjoying your life now?
Oh, well, it's all right. It gets a little boring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I can't work very long. I will work anywhere from a half hour to an hour and a half in a day.
This is on carpentry?
Well, I'm still making those pieces of furniture and so forth.
Yeah. Do you have any other hobbies? Any other things you really like to do?
I don't have any other hobbies. We don't have a car anymore. I can't see well enough to drive a car anymore. That was a pretty big event. The moving from Augusta County, the Shenandoah Valley, down to Norfolk was a pretty big event. There was no such a thing as moving vans like there are today. We hauled, had a public sale, and kept what we wanted to take along. And the father rented a railroad freight car, and we loaded belongings in that, and shipped it. We had three horses, and two cows, and a few chickens.
These all went in the freight car?
Those went in the freight car, yeah. Mm-hmm. Box car. And we went down on the passenger train to Newport News, and took the steamer across to Norfolk, and my uncle with his two-seated carriage was in to meet us, and a neighbor with a two-horse farm wagon, and my mother and some of the older girls rode in the carriage with my uncle and my father and the younger children, except the real small ones, rode on the wagon with the trunks, things like that. And we had about 17 miles to drive out there. We passed a schoolhouse and happened to be a recess, stopped playing, and when they saw us pass on this wagon, it was just about a week before Christmas, and one of the boys hollered, "Christmas is coming!" and we went by. And our belongings came to Fentress then on in the freight car. It was sent across the water on a barge, and then came on out to Fentress, the railroad, and we had to haul everything with horses.
Do you have to give up anything on the way because you couldn't take it along?
No, not on the way. No, we sold a lot of things before we left because at the public sale, you know.
Yeah. How long did this take you?
To go down?
Yeah, the whole moving thing.
Well, it took several days to haul all this carload of stuff down 7 miles to Waynesboro to load the car, and but it only took us. We left home one evening and got down to where we were going next evening.
And what? Who fed the animals in the car?
A friend of father's, Bishop A.P., he called to us. He went along with on the freight train and fed and watered the animals.
Hmm. That's interesting. Do you have any other things you'd like to say? Okay. Well, thanks again. You're welcome.